All right, and we are going to be hearing a message, a special message, and I say special because of the title. The message title is Healing Power of Prayer, the Healing Power of Prayer. This is a message by Brother J.R. Sellers, preached on June 25th, 2005 in Missouri. And by the way, we want to thank Brother Jacob Roseberry, who has been so helpful in sending these messages to us and uploading them into our system. And he made a comment that Brother Roseberry, his dad, strongly recommended this message. And we want to definitely hear it if Brother Roseberry recommended this message. So we're excited about that. And we're going to go ahead and begin to play this message now. Everyone, put on your seatbelts. Here we go. And we're going to be listening to all this message. It's not a very long message. But it's going to be a very good message, and I'm going to go ahead and begin to play that now.
The healing power of prayer. We're living in a wounded world. I was talking to somebody the other day. I was doing some painting at Gateway, and I ran into somebody that works there. And they said one of the numbers, this person told me, they said, Brother Sellers, you would not believe it. They knew that I had gone to Gateway a long, long time ago. And they were talking to me about how things have changed so drastically. And this person told me, it is amazing the amount of kids that were raised in Pentecost that have come to Gateway, and they have to work through issues of abuse, whether it be sexually, emotional, or physical. She said it is amazing, and I almost stood there stunned, although not too stunned because I have been a pastor and I understand that whole deal. But we're living in a world that people are wounded and people have been damaged and violated. They have, and we all have experienced hurts and traumatic experience. And it's very difficult to go through life without having setbacks or disappointments and heartache. The question is when you're in pain and when you're in hurting, whether it be physical or emotional, where do we go to find a remedy? Who can we lean upon to help us, or not just to hear us and lend a sympathetic ear, but where can we go for somebody to help us? And I know today that life is real and life isn't always easy and it's not always fair, but I do believe there is a way to handle life without it handling you. There is a way to be whole where you don't always have to be a victim walking around the world with a gaping wound in your soul. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a little while today, is the healing power of prayer. I believe, and I've proven it and I know it, that prayer can be and is supposed to be therapeutic. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that we could come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. You cannot be timid and shy when approaching God. I think sometimes when we've got a wound, a broken spirit, or we've got an affliction in our spirit, our soul, our mind, our heart, our body, sometimes we get a little timid and about approaching God. But you know what? If you and I can come boldly, we can come with confidence, we can be healed. There's got to be that willingness to come to God and just bare our soul and be bold in the Holy Ghost. God, this is what I'm going through, and this is what I need right now. I ask you the question today, why beat around the bush? Because God already knows what's going on in your life. Why go to the altar and tuck your head and act like you didn't sin and slip up? Why go to the altar and act like you don't have hate in your heart or bitterness, or that you're struggling with lust, or you're struggling with forgiveness for somebody that had violated you or abused you? Amen. I'm here to tell you today, the healer's on the throne. The Prince of Peace is on the throne. I can come boldly to the throne because the Comforter is sitting on the throne. The healer is sitting on the throne. The Prince of Peace resides there. And he said, I can come boldly. I can make my request known to God. I can pour it out to God and say, Lord, will you help me with this? I need healing. I need deliverance. I need to be made whole. Yeah. You know, here's our deal sometimes. We want others to pray for us. We think it should be instamatic, like the drive-thru at McDonald's. I drive by, someone holds the answer out of the window, and we go home with it, and everything is okay. But I'm preaching today as saints of God and as people who are going to deal with the real world and real life, we've got to learn to pray ourselves through some things. We've got to learn to pray ourselves through some difficulties and through some wounds and through some hurts and some setbacks. You and I are going to have to get before God in a transparent, personal way and just pour it out and say, Lord, I need your help. We find Hannah doing that in the book of 1 Samuel. The scripture said that lets us know that she had no children. She was provoked. She was barren. She was wounded. She was disheartened. Her spirit and her soul were heavy. But the Bible said Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. She rose up. She took personal responsibility. I got to get deliverance. I need an answer. The Bible said she had a sorrowful spirit. She absolutely came to God and prayed and wept sore. She unloaded on God. The deep places of her heart were broken up and they gushed out in prayer. And she wept, and the Bible said she brought her affliction to the Lord. She said, Lord, remember me and don't forget your handmaiden. I'll give to thy handmaiden a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of thy life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. She brought her affliction to God. She was honest and transparent and said, I'm barren, I have no children, and it's really bothering me. A lot of times we go to prayer, we talk to God, and we never talk about the things that bother us. We never pour out our soul. We never pour out our heart. We sugarcoat it, and we'll pray for other people's needs, and we'll pray for the church, and we'll pray for revival. But what about that thing that's eating you alive on the inside? What about that thing that is like a cancer, like a wound and a sore on the inside of you? Somewhere you and I have to deal with that stuff. Had a lady that when I first went to Harrisburg, she's a young lady. She came to me and, Brother Sellers, I've had this problem, that problem. She had been abused or whatever and mistreated and been in foster homes and neglected by her real biological parents and all that stuff. And she was going to go to a counselor. And I'm not necessarily opposed to a counselor, but I said, before you go, why don't you just come to the church and go to the altar? Have you ever done that? Well, I never thought about that. I hate my biological father and this and that and all these people that she had feelings pent up against because they had done her wrong. And granted, they had, but you know, there comes a time you and I got to deal with some things. I asked her, I said, sis, have you ever come to the altar just when nobody else was here? I'll give you a key to the church. You got one. Why don't you come to the church when nobody else is here and just spend 2 or 3 hours on your face in that carpet weeping and pouring all that stuff out to God? And see if God won't help you with that. Well, I don't know about that, Brother Sellers. She went on to the counselor and still had problems. And I come back to her. I said, have you ever done what I told you to do? She said, no, I haven't. You see, you got to be proactive like Hannah was. I've got an issue here. I've got a deal. I need healing. I've got an affliction. This has been very disappointing. God, I need your help. I'll tell you how much she poured her heart out to God. She continued praying before the Lord. And Eli marked her mouth. And as Hannah spake, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice wasn't heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. And said, how long will you be drunk and put away wine from thee? You see, we got to be like Hannah. We got to get real before God. Amen. You know what? She wasn't afraid of what Eli said. You're drunk, lady. She didn't care. She had to have an answer from God. When you're desperate, you don't care if you linger in the altar 20 minutes. You don't care if everybody is up and out the door. You're going to linger until you get a breakthrough. You're going to linger until you get healing. You're going to stay until you get deliverance, until you get an answer. I believe it's the lost art of Pentecost. That thing that says, I know how to pray myself through the dark times, the disappointments, and the wounds. I'm here challenging somebody today. There is healing for your spirit. There is healing for your soul. And it comes through prayer.
Amen.
Hannah wasn't afraid of Eli. She needed deliverance. She needed healing. And the Bible said, Eli answered and said, finally, go in peace. The God of Israel grant you your petition thou hast asked of him. She said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. It came through prayer. I'm talking about praying until healing comes, until your attitude, until your perspective is different. There is a healing power in prayer, but you and I have to exercise it. You see, we've tried to replace healing prayer with counseling, preaching, religious entertainment, and choirs. And I'm all for counsel. I know there's safety in a multitude of counselors. I'm all for prayer or preaching. I'm all for choirs and good singing and all that. But you know what? None of that will take the place of that personal encounter that I have with the great physician, with the healer, with the Prince of Peace. Amen. None of that will take the place of getting in the presence of God and letting him rub the balm of Gilead on my spirit and rub that stuff on my soul and changing me in his presence. Yes. I love to ask people the question when they come to me about this, that, or the other. As pastor, my favorite question to ask was, have you prayed about it? And their favorite answer to give was no. I've pastored long enough to know how things are. You mean you're coming to me and you haven't prayed about this? Not that I don't want to help you, but I know somebody bigger than me. I know somebody whose counsel is better than mine. I know somebody's presence who is going to help you more than mine. So why don't we spend some time praying about this and then talk about it? Because it's therapeutic. There's healing power in prayer. Some things are not going to be counseled or preached out of you. They're going to be prayed out of you. 1 Peter 5:7 said, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. We get hurt, frustrated, worked up in an attempt to find relief. We say, we got to talk to somebody. I got to pick up that phone. I got to dial it. So I just got to unload on somebody. I agree with you. Too often we unload on the wrong body. Because you see, there's something supernatural about prayer. When I unload on him. And I'm here today telling you, you can unload on God. And you can really have an honest moment and be transparent and say, God, I'm really dealing with lust here. Would you help me? I'm dealing with anger in a real way. It's ravaging my soul. It's about to get the best of me. Would you please help me? I'm dealing with this pent-up anger. I've got unforgiveness or whatever it is. I can cast my cares upon him because he cares about me. That's why I can do it. He wants to hear it. He wants to help me. He wants to bless me. He wants to encourage me. That's why I can pray like that, because he cares about me. There's some people, they don't want to hear it because they don't care. They don't want to be bothered by your problem because they don't care. But Jesus wants to be bothered because he cares. What do you do when you lose a son, mom, in 1990? What do you do? Yeah. You go get Prozac. We didn't have to do it, did we? I remember those days. I remember that double funeral right here. I remember the procession lined up from here to DeSoto. Yeah. I remember. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. My little brother got killed in an automobile accident, tragically, just up the road a little ways. How do you handle it? How do you adjust? Brother Tyson, I don't remember one time, other than the day of the funeral, you helped me and you spoke words of wisdom to me. You cried with me and you wept with me, but I don't ever remember one time having to come to you for counseling. Not one. It's not because I didn't trust you or because I didn't believe it would help. But I learned something through that. At Gateway, I was a janitor my fourth year of school. And the janitor had a little room in his little office. There was a desk in there. All the toilet paper and the paper towels and the trash bags were in there. And I would go in there during that fourth year of Bible school. And I would go in there when nobody could hear me. And I would unload on God. I would sit in that chair and cry. I'd pound my fist on the desk and say, God, I'm having a hard time coping with this. I miss my brother so bad. I don't understand at 15 years old why he has to leave this world. Some people told me, no, don't question God and be careful. I wasn't charging God foolishly. I was crying out for help. I think somebody has spoken to us and said, don't talk to God about those things. You'll step over the line of blaspheme and charge God foolishly. I learned in that situation, if I can't go to God, who am I going to go to? If I can't pray and express myself, who am I going to go to? I got to have some help. I got to have some healing. I come with a word for somebody today. There's healing power in prayer. It is therapeutic. I would go to God. I'd tuck myself away in that room and I would cry and I would weep and I would pound my fist on the desk and I'd say, God, I'm miserable. I don't know how to deal with this. I've never dealt with anything like this. Would you help me? And the Holy Ghost would come in that room. The Spirit of God would just flow in there. And all of a sudden, after 30 minutes or an hour, I could come out with a smile on my face and clean the bathrooms. Because God came through. And we're living in a world where they prescribe everything under the sun. I'm not criticizing anybody that's on any kind of medicine, so don't get me wrong. But we had a lady in our church who was a pharmacist. I asked her, I said, antidepressant drugs, why do most people take them? She said 75% of the people that take antidepressant drugs that come through here are taking them because they've been through a situation in their life they can't cope with. Not because there's really anything wrong with the brain. They're messed up emotionally. They don't know how to deal with it. I'm here to tell you, prayer's the answer. When you just go to God and you cast your cares on Him and you unload on God and you just say, this is the way it is. You see, your friends will never do for you what God can do for you. Prayer is more than a give me list. It's when I open my spirit and the inner sanctum of my soul and there comes a time that I pull the blinds, I close the door, I get in the carpet and I get up close to God personal, in a personal way, and prayer empties my heart of its cares. And you see, without prayer, you collect and accumulate a lot of junk, and you accumulate problems, and you accumulate stress and frustration. You know what? This is like our soul. We carry around our dirty laundry. I'm mad at a preacher. He offended me 20 years ago. It's time to get over it. I was divorced, and my ex-wife has given me grief. I'm sorry, but you got to forgive. And we carry that stuff around, and somebody offended me or stepped on my toes, and we accumulate stuff. And you know what's in here? It's hurt feelings. It's feelings and thoughts from the past of when somebody did us wrong. It's just dirty laundry. And we carry it around, and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. There comes a time you got to find an altar, and I got to find an altar and unload our baggage. I've been carrying about too much junk emotionally for way too long. I've been carrying stuff around. I'm mad at so-and-so, and I'm not going to forgive them because they don't deserve it. And we just keep putting more and more dirty laundry. But when you can come to the altar and just say, there's my old dirty laundry, Lord, I'm bringing it to the altar. That smells horrible. That's been in there a while. You see, that's what happens with dirty laundry. After it's in there a while, it starts smelling worse and worse. Wow. When I first put that in there, it didn't look that way. It didn't smell that way. But now it does. But I'm going to unload my soul. Give me a key to the church, Brother Tim. I got to come down here on Tuesday. I had something happen at work, but it's dirty laundry. I've been carrying some stuff. I've been carrying some baggage. I got to get rid of it. It's nasty. I've got to lay it on the altar so my soul can be clean and I can be liberated and I can fulfill my potential. I got to get rid of the hurts, the offense, the jealousy, the anger, the bitterness, the rage, the unforgiveness, the lust, and the grudges. You see, because it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And there comes a time that you have to empty your soul so that you can be healed. And I've got a word from the Lord for somebody. There are some people, they like to carry that stuff around.
That's right.
They love to let everybody know they were offended 15 years ago. That they were treated unjustly. That God wasn't fair with them. I'm here to tell you, though, you don't have to be carrying that stuff around. You can be whole, healed, but you have to quit carrying that dirty laundry and clean it out and empty it out to God. And you know what? Until you and I empty our heart of its cares, we cannot experience healing and restoration in our soul. You don't need to have a nervous breakdown. You can have a spiritual breakthrough. When you empty your suitcase of brokenness and junk and frustration, this is what somebody, well, I went to the altar with. Now let me pick it all back up. Take it home with me. Uh-uh. Take your burdens to the Lord. Leave them there. Leave them there. Leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Well, we want to just gather it all back up and go back out. And can I tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you today, it's not always a one-time trip to the altar that's going to do it.
Right. All right.
Brother Tyson is privy to this situation, but when I was trying to start a church, I was made all kinds of promises, and they made it look glamorous and glitzy, and I fell for it. 25 years old, you're stupid. You're naive. You believe everything everybody tells you. I should have known what my dad said his commanding officer told him in the service. Only believe half of what you see and nothing of what you hear. I'm dealing with Christians. I'm dealing with preachers. They tell the truth. You see, I was raised under a pastor that was honest. I thought everybody was. Until this, I got around people that begin to hurt me. I never knew what it was to deal with hurt feelings. I never knew what it was to deal with bitterness and anger and hatred. I never knew any of that stuff till I got there and the curtains pulled back and I see things for what it really is, and I'm abandoned. I'm all by myself 400 miles from home. And all the promises made to me were now gone. They vanished that quick. I got on sight and they vanished that quick. What am I going to do now? I was made fun of. I was ostracized. I was pointed out and corrected in district functions and sectional functions. It was a bad deal, and I was getting madder and more angry by the day. One night I was working at RPS about 4 o'clock in the morning loading a truck, and I was just sitting there thinking of this. I'm 26 years old. My heart's about to beat out of my chest. I'm having chest pain. This is a horrible deal. I'm getting more angry by the second. I mean, I'm sitting, my mind's dwelling on this, and I'm dwelling on this person that has hurt me and damaged me, and I'm not going to go into all those details. Around the front of the truck, I headed down the catwalk. I'm clocking out. I'm going home. I don't have to put up with this. Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you leave now. I mean, I'm walking down that catwalk. You know, we say we want God to talk to us, but how about it? When God says you leave now, you leave wrong.
Yeah.
Turned around, went back, picked up that package, and repented. And the next morning, I got home. Took me a little nap, and I got up, and I went to my office.
And I poured my soul out to God. I began to pray. God, I hate this man. I've never dealt with hatred. I had great parents, had a great church, had a great pastor. I was always treated right. Now, God, this is new to me. I'm not used to this. I'm being abused. I'm being taken advantage of. I'm just pouring it all out to God. Oh, God, please forgive me. You know I'd like to punch this guy's lights out. He's mean to me. He's done wrong. And I'm being honest with God. You see, most of us, we don't know what it's like to be honest with God and say we're mad and we're angry and we like to punch somebody's lights out. But I'm here to tell you, when you tell God I'm wrong, I know I'm wrong, but I'm feeling this way. Would you help me? There is healing. God, I'm disappointed. I don't understand why. Could you come to my rescue? He will. About 3 hours that day, laying on the floor, crying, praying, pouring my soul out to God. I got up and I felt better. I wish I could tell you I never had to deal with those feelings again, but I had dealt with them that day. And from then on, it became easier and easier and easier. And I go back and say, God, I got a little twinge of those feelings again. Would you help me? Would you forgive me? Help me to forgive that man. And I was able to leave Iowa. Oh, I shouldn't have said where. Well, I was able to leave somewhere with a right spirit. And just 2 years ago, that gentleman was in Southern Illinois, and I ran into him at a wedding on Saturday. I said, "What you doing tomorrow, bro?" He said, "Well, I'll go to church such and such." I said, "I want you to come preach for me tomorrow night." He looked at me and said, "Huh? Me?" I loved on him. I said, "Yeah, you." He came and preached for me. Paid him great. Honored him in front of my people. He ministered. Let him pray for the people on the altar. Took him out to eat to the best restaurant in Harrisburg. Hugged him again. When he left, I told my wife, I said, "I'm over it. I forgave." And it feels so good. And it came through prayer. I'm just telling you today, there is healing power in prayer. He said, if you will call on me, if you will humble yourself. You see, it takes humility to have an honest moment with God, because we think we're right and justified in every one of our ill feelings. And I am in the Holy Ghost today. Humble myself. God, I shouldn't feel this way. You went to Calvary and you never talked back. You never retaliated. And I know I shouldn't be feeling this way. You have in touch with the feeling of my infirmities, but you know how to get over this too. God, I just need your help. And it's a powerful thing. Psalm 116, I have to read it to you. I've got to hurry. I have no watch. I have no clock, but I'm guessing I've got to hurry. Psalm 116. Bible said, "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice, my supplications, because He has inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord, and He delivered my soul." That's the therapeutic power of prayer. That will God. We poured it out. I was in the pains of hell. It had gotten its hands on me. Everywhere I looked was trouble and sorrow. But I brought my complaint to the Lord. I poured it out, and deliverance was there. And it's there. Mom gave me the permission to tell this story. I don't know if you know it or not, but so a bunch of years ago, I don't know, 15 years ago, but she got 2 spider bites on the ear, both, one on each ankle. I mean, just a spider bite on the inside of each ankle. Now, what's the chances of that happening? But it did. Thing just started out real small and began to grow and grow and grow. It would break open, and then you can just imagine how horrible the situation was. And some of you all know that because you prayed for it. It would break open, and it would just break open and just pour with infection. Then it would heal over for a while, and she thought she was getting better, and then break open again, went through this whole process. Finally, she decided she was going to do something about it. She went to the doctor, and she never thought you could fix that. She went to the doctor and said, "We've got to debride that." "What do you mean by that?" "We're going to have to put you under And we're going to have to cut out all the dead, the infected dead tissue. We're going to have to debris this. Because it can't heal until we go in there and get the dead tissue and the poison out. Once we get that out, then it can heal over. And then after she did that, and it healed over, she said, and me and Dad enjoyed saying, "We told you so." She said, "I wish I would have done that years ago." But it took somebody walking into her life. Finally, the doctor said, "We've got to debris that. There is a preacher here telling you today, for you to get healing, for you to be whole, for you to be able to cope, for you to be able to have peace and tranquility, you're going to have to, and we've got to debris our soul. We've got to cut that dead stuff out, that baggage, that dirty water. We've got to empty." And then when we do, the blood can start flowing again and bring healing. And let me just say this to you in closing. Once you empty yourself, you've got to learn to pray in tongues. I'm not talking about praying 5 seconds so you know you're going to heaven today if the rapture happens. I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I pray with the Spirit and I pray with my understanding also. I do both. He also said in Romans chapter 8, when we don't know how to pray for us, we ought, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Spirit itself helping our infirmities. When you debris yourself and you empty yourself, then you need God to fill you back up and reconstruct you right. We build up our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Most saints of God, I would venture to say, have never learned what it is to step into that ultimate dimension. I'm not talking about in church just for a couple of seconds. I'm talking about where you pray in tongues. And you spend 10, 15, 20. You say, "Brother Sell, boy, that's awful getting carried away praying in tongues." I'm here to tell you, it will bring healing to your soul when you learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because it is the Spirit of Christ praying through you when you don't know how to pray as you are. You don't know what you need. You've emptied yourself. And you pray in the Holy Ghost and you let God reconstruct you after you've gotten the bitterness and the hatred and the junk and the hurts and the disappointments out. Then God can come back in and reconstruct you. God said, "If you'll pray, I'll heal." There is therapeutic healing power. Prayer. Would you lift your hands and pray with me right now? Jesus, Lord, this church is a church of healing. Wow. This is a church of the miraculous. But God, I believe there are some folks that need more than just healing in their body today. We can be fine physically, but be wounded in our spirit. You come to bind up the brokenhearted and set at liberty them that are bruised. It's time to forgive today, Jesus. It's time to lay it down. It's time to debris. It's time to empty my dirty laundry and leave it at the altar. It's time for me to cast my cares upon you today, Jesus. You can handle it. You got big shoulders. You can handle it. You don't have virgin ears. You can handle my problem. You can handle my setback and my disappointment, my hurt and my wound. Oh, I feel healing in this house today. I'm talking about inner healing today. I'm talking about something that'll touch the inside of you to the very inner sanctum of who you are. Anybody want to have some healing time of prayer today? This altar's open. This altar's open. Anybody need to come and empty your suitcase? Anybody come? I'm talking about deliverance today. I'm talking about victory today. I'm coming to empty my soul. Come on, some of you adults. Don't tell me you haven't dealt with it. Don't tell me you haven't had some of those situations where you've carried some things around and you've had disappointments. And you've wondered, healing is here for you today. What do you do when you deal with tragic death? What do you do when you deal with negative circumstances? I can go to God in prayer. Let there be healing in this house today, Jesus.
If you need hope,
I'm going to be healed.
Strength,
I'm going to be healed.
If you need forgiveness, He's right here.
When your kids disappoint you, I tell you what you need to do. You need to find an altar.
Praise the Lord, everyone. What a message we have heard tonight, and I hope all of you are feeling the anointing, the special touch on this message. We can talk about this for quite a while, but a few things that I want to say is the message is all based on prayer, the healing power of prayer. That was the title of the message. I am going to go ahead and read a few points. He began talking about having a real need. When we have a real, real need, everyone, we are going to linger as long as it takes to get what we are needing. He talked about Hannah. Hannah, who had a need, she had to have a baby. She had to have a child, and we already know the rest of the story. She finally had that child named Samuel, and she returned him unto the Lord. There's something supernatural about prayer. There's something supernatural about prayer. When he made that statement, I thought about that, and I didn't just take it for granted. I thought, this is the truth. There's something supernatural. Precisely, we're tapping into the spiritual realm when we get into prayer, into that type of prayer that he was talking about, and we can never take that for granted. Praise God. He cares about me. We got to remember that the Lord cares about us. Sometimes we think, oh, the Lord's not going to want to know about this. The Lord doesn't care about that. He cares about our every need. And he talked about not needing to carry around that dirty laundry with us. We don't think about it that way, do we? You know, that dirty laundry, the smelly dirty laundry. But yeah, after a while, other people can smell it as well. All right. And he also said, we think we are justified in our ill feelings. Oh, if people knew how much I was hurt and I was wounded, if they just knew how much I went through, then they know why I'm carrying these resentments, this bitterness, and this anger. Let's lay it all down at the altar, everybody. And he made a great point when he talked about needing to clean out the debris, needing to clean out the dead tissue before you can apply the medicine and getting the healing, the true deep healing that we need. Oh, and when he talked about building up our most holy faith, when we build up our most holy faith, that's when we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and that's when the Spirit will help our infirmities. Again, how many times have we heard these passages? But as I heard this tonight, everyone, it was like hearing it for the first time from a new angle. This is how the Spirit will help our infirmities when we get into that deep prayer and let the Holy Ghost pray through us. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and read. It's taking a little bit longer tonight, but I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. This is the verse that one of the cornerstone verses that he began with that reads, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Praise God. Aren't we thankful for this great tool that we have, this great weapon, this great privilege and honor that it is to come into prayer? And you know, with that said, everyone, we're about to close out, but I'm going to do something tonight different on a Monday night that I don't think I've ever done on a Monday night. And that is this, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and open up this line, because as we dismiss in prayer tonight, I want everyone to hear each other's voices in prayer. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and do that now.
Oh.
Praise God. We hear a lot of voices right now, everybody. I hope the anointing is flowing. Why don't we just thank God together for what we heard tonight, and let's pray together right now and ask the Lord to give us this spirit of prayer that we heard about tonight that's going to heal our souls, heal our spirit, heal anything from our past. Let's pray together right now. Let's hear each other's voices. Lord Jesus, we thank you for everyone that is on the call tonight, Lord. And we're lifting up our voices together in unison and in unity together as a family, as the members of the body of Christ. We're crying out to you, Lord God, and we're praying to you in our most holy faith, Lord, with the most holy faith. And we want your spirit to pray through us and heal us of our infirmities. In the name of Jesus, we're asking and we're praying, Lord God, for everyone, whoever is on this call, Lord God, I'm asking you to touch, bless, anoint, Lord God, and lead us and guide us, each and every one of us, into that special place in prayer that you want us to reach. In the name of Jesus, in el nombre de Jesús, we pray. Hallelujah, 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 and amen. And everyone, as we close tonight, I had one more thought I want everyone to hear, and that is this. Why don't you begin to invite your friends and your families and your visitors to these devotional meetings that we have on Monday night and on Thursday. Invite them. You know, there's some visitors that may not step into the church house yet, but they would be willing to go ahead and step into a anonymous conference call. Well, you know, we won't know them by name. Invite them to church through our devotion call on a Monday night or on a Thursday or whenever we do these calls. Invite them, because look at what we're experiencing. Look at the anointing we're feeling. Look at the lesson and the messages that we're receiving. Hey, it could be that your family member or your loved one or your friend or from work or whoever it might be would be willing to tap into one of our conference calls, and they could listen and begin to receive little by little. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost just saying that. Praise God. Everyone, I'm going to go ahead and let you go now, but I'm glad you could hear each other praying and wanted to do that a little bit different tonight. We are one body. Let's continue to pray with faith. God bless all of you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
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 And bless Sister Alina. And bless
all right. God bless all of you. Have a great night in Jesus.
God bless you,
Cindy. Bless everyone, Jesus.